In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. كل سنة وانتم طيبين. النهاردة ليلة العذراء. We are fortunate and privileged to be Christians. We have so many blessings in our life that we are born Christians. I don't know if we are not having this privilege, what will be today for each one of us. I need to talk in 2 points. That God's love to us. God's love to us. First, I will talk about the characteristic of this kind of love. And the second point, how I'm going to gain this. How I can love Him. So, first I'll talk about His characters. And second, we'll talk about how we can love Him. Because we are sure about His love to us, but we are not sure about our love to Him. It's a matter of some practices we're going to have, and we're going to have it as an exercise for our life. First thing, God's love to us is eternal. Even before you are born, He loved you, and He chose you, and He selected you to be His son. From the beginning, the foundation of the world, the Bible said in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord has appeared to me saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting life. I have loved you with an everlasting life. He is demonstrating His love as an everlasting. That means it's not changed, doesn't change. Any love in the world can be changed. Our love to each other can be changed. We love each other today, but tomorrow may be different. But His love is everlasting. It doesn't change. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus Christ is the same. He's the one who loved us yesterday. His love today is the same, and tomorrow will be the same. It would never change. The book of John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 said, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His only Son into the world that He might live through Him. The reason that God had incarnation, the reason that God had incarnated on this earth, just to live through Him, to live in Him. He wants to live in us, and He wants us to live in Him. He wants to share His love. They say that God is love. Love never be one. God has to be, and love has to be two. The expression of love has to be two. Love can never be expressed in one, but has to be in two. God and human being, these two. That's why we knew, we manifested, we revealed His love when we saw with our eyes that He sent His only begotten Son and He died for us. In the book of Isaiah chapter 49, the Bible said, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she had born? Thou, even so, even if she forgets Him, I will never forget you. It's a promise. I want to tell you something. If the promise of people are true, then the promise of the Lord is more than true. If you have someone you trust, and you said, Fulan said so I am trusting his word. I'm telling you that God is more trusted, and His promises will never change. Will never change. The book of John chapter 3, verse 16, the verse which everyone in the church here knows, that for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The most precious thing, the most precious thing that God has, His only Son, He gave it. He gave Him to us. He delivered Him to us to be killed and to be suffered and to live like us. Why? For one reason, that He wants to save us all. These verses can tell you that His love is eternal. Number two, His love is beyond your imagination. You just think so far and still His love is beyond your thinking. You don't know how much He loves you. In the book of Hosea chapter 11, the Bible says, I led them with cords of human kindness. As if he had an analogy that he had tied the people with a rope, and this rope called kindness. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bend down to feed them. I bend down to feed them. His only care is to feed us. God's love was there when we are unworthy. God's love is there when we are unworthy. We don't deserve this kind of love. We did horrible things. We are not worth it. We are not trustworthy. And still God loved us the same way. The Bible says, Romans chapter 5 said, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were all still sinners. Still sinners. That means we still do the same. Christ died for us. So, this is will tell you that he's ready to accept you in any condition you were. If you are dead like the daughter of Jairus, or you are dead like the son of Nain, or like dead like Lazarus for 4 days, any kind of death, any kind of distance you have, He still loves you and He still accepted you. The book of Galatians, He said, God gave Himself for me. This is very nice about St. Paul. Every one of you had received salvation. I know that. And every one of you had this salvation, and he expresses his gratitude to the Lord for his salvation. But the good thing about St. Paul, he feels that the salvation is for him only. And he says that if this salvation is just done for the whole universe, for me only, God will come and will save me. And this is exactly what St. Augustine said. St. Augustine said, if the world only have me, Jesus Christ still will come and will be incarnated and be killed and just for me. This is what St. Paul said in the book of Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. See how personal it is. This is what I want you to have. Unless you have personal relationship with Christ, no one can save you. The life with Christ is a decision. Unless you do it by yourself, no one can help you. No one can help you. God chose us. He is the one who chose us. He told His disciples, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And He looked at every one of you and He said the same. You did not choose me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And this is exactly what happened. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. God loves us while we are unworthy. The book of Romans said, consider therefore the kindness. There are two things only in life, either kindness or sternness. Either kindness or lutf aw sarama. Either kindness or sternness. Both are there, and God has both of them. What you are going to stick with? Sternness for those who fell, but kindness to you. Kindness to you. And provided that you will continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Jesus Christ, His love to us is beyond imagination. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. He never finds kind of compassion and affection in the world except for the mother to her child. So He said, as the mother comforts her child, I also comfort you. God called us His children. He didn't say, I'm their Lord. He didn't say, I'm their God. He said, I'm their God. But John the Beloved said something very interesting in the book of the epistle of St. John, chapter 3, verse 1. He said, See what great love of the Father has lavished or bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. What kind of privilege we have. It's something honorable to be children of God. He called us His children. He called us His children. And He said, when you pray, say, Our Father, because I'm your Father. I'll be ready to give you any time. See how much your Father is rich, and I'm ready to give you everything, because I'm the only Father for you, and you are my only Son. This is the characters of God's love. With this kind of love, how are we going to respond to this? How are we going to respond to this? Now we are sure about His love to us. We are sure about His love, which makes the lady, which they caught her in the sin, to make her free. The love which goes after Zacchaeus until he saved him. The love which goes after Matthew, the Levi, and he saved him. This kind of love which always searches for sinners for them to get them back from their bad deeds. This is the assurance of His love. But the second part, how am I going to respond to this love? Number one, I want you to know that the only person you cannot live without Him is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can cut off relation with anyone, but not Christ. You need Him. You need Him in guidance. You need Him in daily life. You need Him in forgiveness. You need Him in prayer. You need Him in everything. And He said it flat out. He said in the book of John, chapter 15, without Me, you can do nothing. Without Me, you can do nothing. You need Him every moment of your life. If God will hide His face from you, you will perish. If God will hide His eyes from you, you're going to be in another world. So His eye is always on us. We need Him, and we need His relationship with Him. There is practice we should always say, ceaseless prayer. Tell Him that I need you. You know why God had praised the child? You know why God took a child and said, unless you become like this child? Because the child is always in need for his parent. He will never do anything by himself. He has to ask or to be guided by his parent. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to ask for everything. We ask His help. We ask His guidance. We ask His wisdom. We ask His counsel. This is what God wants us to do. If we do this, we will never fall. Well, you know why? Because you will always be sticking with the hand of the Lord. My father of confession used to give me a small prayer. My Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. My Lord Jesus Christ, help me. My Lord Jesus Christ, save me. Just three supplications. Ask Him all the time for help. Lift up your heart and ask help from heaven. Number two, you ought to do a personal relationship with Him. I told you, the life with Christ is a very, very narrow way. It cannot take two. It has to take one. So when you face Christ, you have to have a relationship with Him. You cannot come with your brother or sister or father or mother with Christ in heaven. You have to come one by one. You have to make sure that you have a relationship with him. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, he talks about the personal relationship. He said, on the right side, come blessed children, come and enjoy my kingdom. Because I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was stranger, and you did so and so. They told him, we didn't do this. When did we do it for you? He said, whatever you did it to my little brethren, you did it to me. So here is the relationship. The relationship is not only direct with Christ in your room in prayer, but also with your brothers and sisters around you. Your relationship is reflected. Your love to him is reflected to his children. There is a famous saying mentioned by Saint Augustine. He said, if you don't want to upset God, don't upset his children, because they are created in his image. They are created in his image. You require to have relationship with him. As I said, be careful, because there will be one day coming. You will be standing before Christ. In that moment, you will be either a friend or a foe. Either a friend or you don't know him. He said, be away from me because I do not know you. I do not know you means no relationship, no closeness. We had never talked. We had never spent time with each other. How you expect that we are friends? We are not. We never talked. You never talked to me. Baba Shenouda once said something very interesting in his sermon. He said, in the morning, while you are so rushing to get to your college or work or whatever, you just stand and you rush a prayer and you want to leave quickly. And the Lord is telling you, wait, wait, I didn't give you anything yet. I want to give you something. Wait, I'm so busy, I can't more than that. I don't have more than 5 minutes for prayer. I'm keeping good things for you. I want to give you. And I don't have time for him. We have to devote some more time to the Lord. We need to devote some more time to the Lord. Number three. Trust in his promises. Trust in his promises. The whole entire book is called the Book of Promises. The whole entire Bible is promises. Every single verse there is promise for you. Not for Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah. No, it's for you. The book is written for you, not for anyone else. Trust him. Everybody should trust the Lord. Because if you trust someone, you dealt with him already, and you found him trustworthy, I'm telling you, God is also trustworthy. And his promises will never be broken, will never break. If he said something, he will do it, maybe in his time, but he will never break it. Number four, give up something for him. Search for what we call it the beloved sin. Every one of us has in his heart something called beloved sin, al-khatiyya al-mahbuba. Give it out because of his love. It's very worth it to leave something for him. When Saint Peter told him, we left, he left actually broken net, nothing. But he said, we left for you, what you're going to give us? He said, I will give you so and so and so and tenfolds and everlasting life. If you leave for him the love of the world or anything else for him, he will repay you right away. Leave for him something. For the love of the world is an enmity to God. Make your day a holy day. Make your day a holy one. Read a lot about Him. Put songs and sing to the Lord. Recite some prayers you have. Try to keep some psalms in your heart and mention them while you are by yourself. Try to keep yourself busy with the book of saints and the life of saints and the heaven and what's in there. Give something small and the day will come when you will be able to offer not small things, but your body as a living sacrifice, as the Bible said. Agnatius el Antaki was sentenced to be cast into the lions, hungry lions. So the Romans tried to prohibit that. The Romans, the ones who loved him, they tried not to make him go to Rome. He said, I'm afraid that your love will hurt me because I'm not ready only to be cast, but to be cut off for Christ. He's able not to give, but he's able to give the whole entire body. Give something to him. Number 5. Remember his blessings. I want you to think all the day how many blessings God gave you. How many blessings God gave you. How many times he saved you from danger. How many times he was there when you were in trouble and you will be fine. I was in St. George Nunnery, Kutifdir Maragirgis al-Rahbat, and I was asking one of the nuns and told her, can you tell me one of the miracles of St. George, a little Abuna, when you go home at night safe and your wife safe and your children safe, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. We took it for granted. We just go safe at night and we feel that at least this is the least God can do for us. Two years ago, we had shown you a video clip. He said, a youth, he said at night, my Lord, I don't know what to thank you for. I'm not sure. I don't have anything to thank you for. So the video says that he's sleeping, and then in the morning, the picture shows that he can move his toes. So there is a banner on the screen says, I can move my leg. Then the next scene, he goes to the bathroom and he cleans his face and he brushed his teeth. He said, I have clean water. Banner. And then he go to his work. While he was going to the work, he passed by Dunkin' Donuts. And then he had his coffee. And he said, I have money to get coffee. Banner like this. He goes to the work with his car. And he said, I own a car. And he goes one after another. And at the end, he sleeps and he said, I don't know what to thank you for. What about all of this? Do you think that this is just for granted? Do you know that so many people, they cannot move their toes? They don't have water. They cannot own a car. They don't have money to get coffee. That's very small things every single day we deal with. And we think that this is just for granted. God has to provide me for this. No, God doesn't have to do anything for you. But you should thank for it. And unless you thank for it, any gift will never be increased. Unless you thank for the gifts you receive from the Lord will never increase it. Because the gifts is increased when you are thanking for it. Number 6. Think about forgiveness. How much had been paid just for you to be forgiven. See what is the road of the cross that Christ did for you just to give you forgiveness. Every single sin you do, it's forgiven. Every single sin you do, before, now, and after, it's forgiven. It's erased. مقدماً, in advance. You know why? Because the payment had been already done. But he requires one thing, to repent of it. You confess it, and you come and have communion. Erase it. Do you think this is not enough to be a reason for thanking him all of our days? Number 7. Think about eternity. God had prepared a place for you. Can you imagine that he was so busy to prepare a place for you? Habib Farag, a youth in the age of 24, so many people, they tried to get him to the church and he refused totally. He doesn't want. And they bug him every single time they go, they knock the door, they visit him, the servants, and he was fed up from this kind of visitings. So he said, I will come to you once, and that's it. He said, okay. So he went, and there was a sermon about repentance, and he was affected. The same night, he dreamt a dream, amazing dream. He said that Virgin Mary appeared to him, and she took him by hand, and she told him, come, I want you to show the fate of the righteous and the fate of the unrighteous. She took him first to a place very dark, very bad, very smelly, very intolerable. And he said, can we leave this place? She said, okay. She took him to the paradise and she showed him thrones. People are sitting on thrones. Throne for Virgin Mary, throne for Antonius, thrones. And then he found a chair, empty chair, with no one. So he asked Virgin Mary, whose chair is this? She said, this is your chair if you choose to walk with my son, Jesus Christ. From that moment, he lived a very righteous life. You know how many years? Only 3 years. He departed in the age of 27. The minute or the second he was departing, they heard him shouting with a very loud voice, I'm coming, O Virgin Mary, I'm ready, yes, I'm ready, I'm coming. This is what they heard when he was departing his soul. He went to prepare a place for you. This chair I told you the story about is every one of you has a chair there. It's empty today. But be careful that this chair will be for someone else. But it's written on you, your name. You know what? As if you are in a dignitary and a banquet and your name is written on the chair and you didn't show up. What happened? Either to be given to someone else or they take the chair outside. So God had a place for you. After Jesus Christ ascended, he went, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Number 8, think about his coverage for our sins. How many times he covered for my sins? If Jesus Christ doesn't cover my sins, I will be with all my ugliness, all my bad deeds will be shown to everyone. How many times he covered for my sins. That's why any one of you will cover the sins of others. It's a symbol of love. Number 9. The privilege of being a child of God. You are son of God. You are his son. And how dear this to you. The privilege of receiving the body of Christ. Every time you come to the church, you have a powerful tool. You take it with you, the body and the blood. The enemies, the Satan and devils, they tremble from prayers. Imagine his body and his blood if you take it by faith. Number 11, think about the gifts he gave you. They say that no one on earth has no gifts. Every one of you had received some gifts. So many people, they have so many gifts. But at least there are one or two or three gifts for each one of you. God gave you gifts. Try to use it for the kingdom of God. Think about his long suffering, how much he is waiting for you to come back. He's very, very patient with you. Number 13, recite his name always in your prayer. Think more about the heavenly life and read about him. I will conclude with five practices. In 5 minutes, I will conclude with five practices. Number one, do not let an hour passes without reciting his name. Number one, do not let an hour passes without mentioning his name. You can have it by the Lord's Prayer, like Abuna Mkhil Ibrahim. Abuna Mkhil Ibrahim, it's not hour. Abuna Mkhil Ibrahim can be saliha every minute. Number two, every time you are exposed to a sin, portray the picture of Christ. Keep him before you. I know some people, they put the picture of the cross of the Christ always in their cars and their rooms, and they say that Abu Nabshi Kamil, the last 3 days in his life, he was fixing his eyes to the picture of the cross, and he never get his eyes out of this picture. Number three, ask yourself, would God agree in any work you do? When you do something, ask yourself, is Jesus agreeing for that? Agreeing for this errand? Agreeing for this work? Agreeing for this friendship? Agreeing for this matter? Anything, just ask the Lord, is he going to agree for that or not? Four, recite the ceaseless prayer. My Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. The last exercise, make everything your eye will fall upon is a tool for meditation. For example, if you are by yourself, you see the sky, try to relate this to Christ. Rain, try to relate to this Christ. Everything your eye will fall upon, try to relate it to Christ and to the heaven. And by this way, you will be heavenly creature. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.